Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Our next guest is Major Andrew Fox. He's a former British Army officer. He's got deep operational and strategic insight into the Middle East. And we wanted to chat to him. We wanted to focus on the tragic massacre of the Druze civilians in Syria and asking broader questions, how it impacts on regional stability or instability, and also why the world seems to be so silent. Major Fox, good morning. Thank you for joining us. I'm hoping you are well.
Good morning, Howard. Yes, just back from holiday, so
Wonderful. So you're refreshed and less aggravated by what you're seeing in media, I suppose, or not really?
Oh, no, still completely aggravated.
Okay, fine.
You could fail to be moved by what's coming out of Syria right now.
Well, that's incredible. That's exactly what I wanted to ask you, is what stands out to you about this reporting of this massacre?
Well, I mean, it's notable by its absence in many ways. It's not getting a tenth of the headlines that, for example, Gaza is at the moment. And yet we're seeing, coming out of South Syria, images completely akin to those of 7th of October. You know, this is the sort of scale of atrocity we're talking about. And it's not getting anything near the attention that Gaza is at the moment.
I don't want to say that that's just anti-Semitism, because I think that is too simple an answer. Is there a nuance to this that we need to try and figure out?
I mean, I think that the very obvious answer is that the Druze in Syria don't have a 50-year superpower-backed propaganda campaign supporting them.
Interesting.
You know, I think this all goes back to the Cold War. It goes back to Soviet backing for the kind of reinvention of the Palestinian cause in 1967. And, you know, they're pushing it an open door when it comes to spreading Palestinian propaganda, whereas the Druze, I think most people are having to Google what Druze is, quite frankly. It's not a commonly known term outside the Middle East. So we're looking at a very different information environment for both arenas, as it were.
Right. In terms of the regional stability, there's obviously been an attempt by the U.S. to pull Syria into the Abraham Accord, to see some stability, which is good for Syria, good for the U.S., good for Israel. This obviously is a challenge to or a threat to that stability. How do you think Israel has handled it, and could they have handled it differently/better?
That's a tricky question. The stability in Syria was always fragile. It was always, you know, under tensions right from the word go, be that from Turkish militias attacking the Kurds in the north, be that, you know, massacres of the Alawites on the Mediterranean coast. You know, this has not been a smooth journey. I think Israel has acted not only from, you know, the moral desire to support the Druze, but also from a sort of realpolitik approach, where they know that government forces advancing south are a threat to Israel's border, and they're not prepared to take any risks on that in the context of the post 7th of October world. So I can see what Israel has done and why. The question is, as ever, what next? How does this situation resolve itself? And there's still very little clarity on where we're going to go forward from this point.
Does it signal anything about Syria's new leader?
Well, look, we know from the massacres of the Alawites back in March this year that the paper trail led straight back to Damascus. Al-Sharaa promised accountability and nothing has happened. Yet again, we're seeing promises of accountability, and at the same time he's going on Syrian TV and actually laying the blame for the massacres on the Druze themselves for starting a fight with the Bedouin tribes down in the south. So I'm fairly of low expectation that this is going to resolve itself in some sort of reconciliation. The bigger question is what the Druze do next. Do they attempt to flee Syria? Do they attempt to separate from the, you know, create their own autonomous micro-states down in Suwayda and the other areas? You know, this is all up in the air at the moment, and I think we're going to have to just keep an eye on it.
So do you think that the bombing of the strategic offices in Damascus was more about the Druze or, I mean, it could be both, obviously, or but designed to send a very strong signal to Damascus to say that we're not buying any of this and we're still keeping a very close eye on you?
Yeah, I think it's the latter. It's a very clear message to back off and stop sending government forces to the south. You know, there does seem to be a ceasefire there at the moment, so a little bit of flex seems to have done the trick. We'll see how long that ceasefire holds for. Because, you know, that is a route, unfortunately, that the Bedouin use for drug smuggling. The tribes down there have been prominent in the Captagon trade, which is the key drug that essentially kept Syria afloat as a narco state when they were under heavy sanctions. So that is a smuggling route and a smuggling area. So, you know, the Bedouin will want to find routes through in spite of their conflicts with the Druze. So it's going to be a very tumultuous couple of months, I suspect.
The fact that Israel has a very loyal and valued Druze community, they are active in the IDF. Would there have been a concern on Israel's part that if they didn't display and demonstrate loyalty towards the Druze community, that it could cause internal concerns and challenges within the IDF?
Well, I think we were seeing that already, weren't we? There were roads blocked by protesters. We had 1,000 Druze cross the border into Syria to go and kind of fight with their brothers in Syria. And Bibi went on TV to give an address to the Druze people to say, the IDF have got this, please don't worry. So it's clearly very high on the priority list of the Israeli government to make sure that their own domestic population don't feel kind of set to one side in favor of all the other things that are going on in the Middle East at the moment. At least the Druze in Israel know that a relatively kind of localized massacre still gets the proper level of attention from Jerusalem.
Do you think that the criticism from the US is genuine or is it performative?
I think the main effort for Mr. Trump is his Nobel Peace Prize. Everything comes secondary to that consideration. And a good example of that was ending the Iran campaign, frankly, a good week or two earlier than it probably should have ended. But Mr. Trump wants to be seen as the peacemaker. So I think his criticism will be genuine if he sees a risk of escalation, especially after he's done so much posturing about al-Sharaa being a tough young guy. And, that's an actual quote from the President of the United States, believe it or not. He's done all that posturing and he could be made to look very foolish if Syria once again erupts into civil war. So that's what Washington will be tracking.
Right. So they will be keeping a close eye. Do you think this particular episode is over?
No, I don't. I think the militias in Syria are not fully under Damascus control, it would seem, which puts al-Sharaa in a very tricky position. Either he can't or won't control the jihadis. And in either scenario, there's no good outcome here. So I expect that we will see
more
similar events, if not immediately, then certainly further down the line.
Very concerning. Major Andrew Fox, thank you as always, former British Army officer, speaking to us about the situation in Syria, the Druze massacre, and the geopolitical impact. It's 8:43.